In 1870, nearly one-third of Idaho's population was Chinese. Most of them were men, and they worked in Idaho's mining industry. This was not the easiest of jobs. Some of those who came to Idaho were also women who faced their own struggles. And many of those who came eventually did go back home to China. But they left behind a history and a culture that we still see today in the Gem State. Idaho Public Television is airing an episode of their show, Idaho Experience. It's titled Forgotten Neighbors, Idaho's Chinese Immigrants. If you'd like to watch, it is this Thursday evening at 8:30 p.m. Melissa Davlin from Idaho Public Television is joining me now. Melissa, of course, is the producer of this piece. And I want to welcome you to the show, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me about the program and why are you focused on Chinese immigrants here in Idaho?
Idaho Experience is a new series at Idaho Public Television that focuses on Idaho history. It's modeled after American Experience on PBS. And because it is a new show, we as producers are kind of shaping the feel of it and everything. They approached me last year at Public Television and asked me to explore a topic that I would be interested in. So I went down to the State Archives and I started reading old newspaper clippings, and I came across a whole bunch of examples of coverage from the 1870s and 80s and 90s of crimes that were committed against Chinese members of the community. You know, there was a massacre in Hell's Canyon in which more than 30 Chinese men were killed for their gold. There was a lynching in Pierce in which five Chinese men who were accused of a crime were hung before they had a trial. And I found multiple examples of this. And in every article I found, every time a Euro-American white man basically was accused of a crime against a Chinese person, they were let go. They were acquitted even if they confessed to the crime. And in all of the examples I found of Chinese men who were accused of crimes, every single one of them was executed without a trial. And I grew up in Idaho. I took the Idaho history courses. I took AP history in high school, and I didn't know these stories. And this was such a big part of Idaho's territorial history. I mean, it wasn't just almost one-third of Idaho's population being Chinese. And in a lot of the gold rush towns like Pierce, there were some towns that were almost entirely Chinese. You know, at one point in Pierce, there were only a handful of Euro-American people. There were 600 Chinese people. And so this, I wanted to dig into this and tell these stories because they were fundamental in laying the foundation for Idaho's economy, for its infrastructure, and for where we are today.
I think that's really interesting that you brought up the point about, you know, you taking all of these Idaho State classes. My oldest just finished fourth grade, and in the state of Idaho,
right,
you learn Idaho State history.
Right.
He was fascinated with Idaho State history. Not once did I hear him come home and ask about this aspect of Idaho State history.
Right, right. And in Idaho history classes that I took, and this was well before your son took them, but still, we spoke a lot about, you know, the Nez Perce, the Nimiqui. We talked a lot about Lewis and Clark. We did talk about the gold mines. But if Chinese workers were mentioned, it was very briefly in passing. I knew there were Chinese workers here, but I didn't know there were so many of them. I didn't know that there was a discriminatory immigration federal law that prevented the Chinese workers from bringing over their families from China. You know, so even if they wanted to settle here, they couldn't. Very few Chinese workers ended up putting down roots here because they couldn't marry white women and they couldn't bring over Chinese women. There were very few women who made it over before the Chinese Exclusion Act was passed in the 1880s. And it's especially now as we're talking about immigration policy and how we want to move forward as a country, you look back 150 years and we've been having these conversations the whole entire time in the United States. It's really a reminder of how important it is to understand our history and how we got to today and what we did wrong. You know, some of these were really dark periods in Idaho's history, and I'm Idaho and I love this state. I had no idea that there were men who were lynched and murdered in this state. The Chinese men who were killed. And I think it's so critical that we understand both the good and the bad parts of our history.
What were the most surprising things you learned researching this and putting this episode together?
Oh, there were so many. There were so many. The half-hour show centers around this really remarkable merchant family. You know, the majority of the Chinese workers worked in the mines and then later on the railroad. But there were some exceptions to that, including merchants. There were a handful of women who made it over before the Chinese Exclusion Act was passed. And I learned about this family in Idaho City, the Lockheed family, and started looking into their business holdings. They were able to accumulate a huge amount of wealth from their mines and from their businesses. And they had a very, very large family that included a lot of children. Idaho City schools were fully integrated. So not just boys and girls, but the Chinese children. And there were only a few in the city, but still, they were able to go to school with the white children. That was remarkable because in a lot of places, that just didn't happen, including in China. Idaho City was one of the first places in the entire world where Chinese girls were able to get an education. Isn't that remarkable?
Well, we had segregated schools up until the, 1950s?
Yeah, absolutely. But you look at letters to the editor about the Chinese residents. You look at newspaper coverage at the time. You look at school photos from Idaho City, and there are Chinese children in there who belonged to this merchant family. And again, I'm not trying to make it sound like Idaho City was this perfect utopia mm-hmm. with no racial strife, because this family went through some very, very hard times because they were Chinese. But they had white friends, and the children went to school with the white children, both the boys and the girls. And that was pretty rare in the West.
Were you able to talk with descendants of this family? I'm assuming they're still living. Some of them are living here in Idaho.
So I don't want to give away too much from the show.
You don't have to.
But I will say that I was able to track down some descendants. They are not in they aren't in Idaho. They are in California. And we got to talk to them. They had some information that the historical societies here didn't have. The historical society had some information that they didn't have. And that was the interesting thing about this, because everyone had pieces of this puzzle, right? But the pieces hadn't all been gathered in one place. So it's not necessarily that we uncovered a whole bunch of new information, but we were able to connect people who had all this information. And everyone now has a more complete picture of not just what this one particular family went through, but what the Chinese Idaho experience was. It wasn't just black and white. It wasn't all terrible racial strife. It wasn't all everyone living in harmony. It was a much more complex picture than that.
I'm speaking with Melissa Davlin of Idaho Public Television about the history of Chinese immigrants in the Gem State. They will be airing a new episode of their new show, Idaho Experience. It focuses on Chinese immigrants. It will be airing Thursday evening on Idaho Public Television at 8:30 p.m., and it's always 8:30 p.m. statewide. We have to make that clarification since we're in two different time zones. One of the things you said in the beginning of the interview, though, Melissa, was that it's not just about the stories of the Chinese immigrants, but it's how this influx of a population has affected who we are today.
Right.
What did you find in that? Because you talked about infrastructure even.
Mm-hmm. So after the mining claims were mostly worked out, a lot of the workers who decided to stay here before going back to China ended up working on the railroads that crisscross our state. And so, you know, without the Chinese workers, the railroad companies likely would have found workers elsewhere, mm-hmm. but they really made it possible to get this railroad set up in Idaho. We don't focus a lot on that in the show because a half an hour it's not long. You would think that that's enough time to tell a story. It is not. So we really have this myopic focus on the Chinese miners and this one family and the Chinese Exclusion Act. But there were so many influential Chinese residents in Idaho that we didn't get a chance to touch on. There was a doctor in the Boise Basin from China who treated both white and Chinese patients, was very, very popular. The Idaho Board of Medical Examiners denied his license after he had had it for several years. He tried to renew it. They denied it. And he successfully sued to get his license back in 1900, which opened the door for other Chinese practitioners to get their medical licenses. His name was Dr. C.K. Afong, and he was so influential in other practitioners being able to practice medicine in Idaho. I mean, just so many important people who because of the Chinese Exclusion Act, they weren't able to bring their families. Most of them went back to China. We don't see remnants of them in the same way we do, say, the Basque population that's had such a big influence on our state, the Latino population that has moved here and put down roots over the last 20, 30 years. It really is a different story with the Chinese population. We don't have the same sort of cultural festivals statewide that we do for other populations that have had such an important influence on Idaho. And I think that's a shame because they were such a big part of the Idaho territory and getting us to where we are today.
I think it's interesting that you make the connection between the Chinese Exclusion Act and families not being allowed to be together. And as you said, where we are today, because sometimes, you know, we say history repeats itself.
My gosh. Yes.
Did you find that? I mean, there's just such similarities.
So even after the Chinese Exclusion Act was repealed, we're speaking to descendants of this merchant family in Idaho City that I mentioned. And they were, after World War II, China was a tough place to live. They were trying to make it back to the United States. And because of the immigration laws, the way they were set up, these, at the time they were teenagers, were separated from their mother for 5 years. Now the children are now in their 80s, you know, 82 and 89 years old, I believe. And I'm interviewing about them about something that happened in 1949. And this 82-year-old man breaks down crying from this five-year separation from his mother. This is an interview we did in January before any of the news coverage came out about, or much of the news coverage came out about family separations at the border. We had no idea how poignant it would be this summer when the show aired. You know, we knew it was heartbreaking at the time, but now it's even more current than we could have imagined. And it shows, it just reinforces how important it is to show the human side of history, because I can talk about, you know, mining claims and the Chinese Exclusion Act, and everyone's going to glaze over. But you show the human impact of those immigration policies and how it's affected this entire generation of this family. My gosh, it's so, I'm so grateful to this family for trusting me with their story.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and talking about it. I think it's going to be a really fascinating episode. I've been talking with Melissa Davlin of Idaho Public Television about the history of Chinese immigrants in Idaho. IPTV's episode of Idaho Experience, which is titled Forgotten Neighbors, Idaho's Chinese Immigrants, will air this Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. And then if you do miss it, they'll air it again on Sunday. Melissa, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.